Blog Talk Radio.
Tuning into the Next Chapter Widows Ministry Talk Show. This is Mary Hollis, your host and the director of the Next Chapter Widows Ministry, a ministry embracing widows and also others who have lost a special someone as well. Our scripture read, "Honor widows that are widows indeed." That's coming from 1 Timothy 5:3. Tonight, before we go into journeying through grief, I have something else I want to discuss with you. During my Sunday school class this past Sunday, we had a great topic. And the topic was called, Winners Don't Quit. Coming from 2 Timothy, the second chapter. If you have a pencil and paper near, grab hold of it, because you might want to write a couple of things down. Tonight's topic is Winners Don't Quit, and I'll go into journeying through grief with one topic that we're going to discuss tonight. But the Holy Spirit, I felt that the Holy Spirit wanted me to share this with you because it meant a lot to me when I was reading it, going through the lesson this past Sunday. What do I need to remember when I feel like giving up? Well, I know you don't want to be there without your loved one, but quitting is often the easy way out, even when things get through, any problems arises. Quitting doesn't need to be the first thing we do in response. Often quitting too soon means you miss out on something bigger that was just around the corner. Sometimes things just feel like they get too hard. Biblically, demonstrating endurance is an important quality in the life of a believer. Is endurance easy? No, it's not. But while enduring to the end takes discipline. Yes, it does. Because it's not fun, because as you have, every night you have to sleep in the bed, same bed that your loved one, or if it's not a spouse, it's a mother, father, son, or daughter. You see them, those beds made up and never unmade. Looking at their pictures, eating alone. And sometimes we do feel like we want to quit living, quit feeling these things that we're going through, but we must not give up. This week I suggest that you read 2 Timothy chapter 2, where Paul and Timothy talked about endurance. Paul reminded Timothy that Jesus descended from David, meaning that Jesus, as fully human, endured hardship, suffering, pain, and death, as we all do. Yet Christ set the example of enduring even through suffering. So going through this journey of grief, it's a normal thing. It's you find that you are suffering through the pain and emotion that you're going through or have gone through. So just knowing that we must not quit and we need to keep on pressing on. The key to endurance is to know why you are enduring and how best to endure in a particular situation. After all, winners don't quit. Like I said before, don't quit. Keep pressing forward in the healing process. One other thing that I wanted to point from my Sunday school class is just as an athlete must endure until the end of the race or the game, believers must endure in their walk with Christ. Will it be easy? No. Will we have problems, trials, and troubles, and struggle along the way? Certainly. You can count on it. Just as athletes are challenged to be, to remember that winners never quit and winners never give up. Believers can adopt that same mindset when it comes to living the Christian life. It takes endurance to the end. And just know that God is always with you, and He will help you to endure to the end. Keep on pressing forward. And a couple of other points that we went through in Timothy, 2 Timothy, the second chapter. The big payback. The big payback is getting, God is getting you through the journey of grief. That is the big payback, that you will survive this. So don't quit. Keep on pressing on. And one other thing. In Romans 8:26, help is on the way from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Be encouraged. Now I am going to start with one of the topics in journeying through grief. We won't be able to go through all three of them, but there is one that I wanted to go over tonight, and I mentioned last week. Mentioning your loved one's name. Well, One thing that normally happens, too, is widows does not like to be called widow, especially the first 6 months to a year. Well, this is normal, natural feeling for many. So it's an, I'm going to go over some others. A woman who challenged, a woman who college-age son was killed in an accident. And she said after six months later, no one would say her son's name in her presence. It was driving her crazy because she was constantly on her mind. But she felt that no one would even acknowledge that he ever existed. Then one day she was walking through a mall, feeling incomplete and alone in the midst of hundreds of people. And she suddenly saw one of her son's friends from high school. They made eye contact. And instead of him walking away, he came straight towards her. His first words were, "You know, I think about Jason all the time, and I miss him so much." Then they sat down on the bench and for the next hour exchanged stories, tears, laughter, memories. It was the first healing hour she felt in 6 months. She said that she really felt this young man was an angel sent by God right when she needed it most. Excuse me. But that is so true. People sometimes tippy-toe, that expression tippy-toe, and to avoid mentioning your loved one's name, they feel that if they do, that, you know, you might get really emotional. So there are times, even sometimes what happens also, the phone stopped ringing. After the funeral, the phone stopped ringing. No one is calling. They may be thinking about you, but no one is calling. We need to talk about our loved ones who have died. Yet so many people around us are afraid to. They think that mentioning the person's name will make us cry. That's probably right. They are afraid that hearing a name will hurt us. 100% of the time, that is right. We need to hear our loved one's name. We need to tell and hear stories about him or her. We need to laugh and cry, sometimes at the same time. We need to say how much we miss the one we love and hear how much others do too. And many times, other family members are feeling the same way that you are. You're not sharing your feelings by not talking about it. No one knows how the other one really is feeling. So it's important if you talk about it. Sometimes you feel that you both are feeling those same things and going through the same emotions or grief. Like, for instance, if you have sons and daughter and you've lost your spouse, those children of yours are going through the same type of grief, not the same feelings, but going through grief also. And by talking about your loved one, sometimes you start talking to understand that your son or daughter is being affected the same way, or their behavior have changed. They make certain comments. You know, they're hurting too. So sometimes we need to not just focus on us, we have to focus on other members of our family, and especially young children that don't understand. My daughter was 4 years old, and she was saying something, but she didn't understand what you were saying. Every time someone came into the house during that time, she said, "Did you know my daddy died? My daddy died." And she thought it was news for people to know, but she really didn't know the extent that her daddy was gone and was not coming back. So it's so important that you be mindful of others who loved your loved one as well. Since so many people are afraid to mention the name of their loved one, you may need to take the initiative and tell people it's okay to talk about them. So just try doing that, and you'll see sometimes that they are thinking about and hurting as well. Come right out and tell people it's okay to talk about Jim, Charlie, Martha, whoever the name the person was. I know it's difficult and involves some risk, but I encourage you to say something similar to people you trust. You'll almost certainly find few more people who will let you talk and let you cry, and who will share a little bit of your pain as well, your joy, and your loved one. A young mother who lost her baby said that she grew tired of her friends avoiding the subject, so she put together a list of helpful things her friends could say or do to help her during her grief. She made copies of a list and carried them in her purse. When people came around her, she seemed apprehensive, but she pulled out a copy and handed it to them. Do you know what the number one item on her list was? "It's okay to talk about my baby. I may cry, but that's okay. I miss her, and I want to talk about her." Think about how, and that's not the only thing. People try to avoid talking, but guess what? You do the same. Some of you do the same. I had a widow when after the funeral, she avoided anyone that knew or was around her and her husband. I think I mentioned before. She went into Home Depot when she saw someone. And really, this guy that she saw was a good friend of her husband and didn't find out what had happened to him. And she took off out of the store because she didn't want for them to connect and start talking about her husband. It's more like she was still in the shock. She still didn't want to believe that he was gone. So she avoided anyone that would bring that memory back up again. Think about some of the things that you have done, what you do to avoid people talking about your loved one. You don't feel like talking because you don't want to. In your mind, sometimes you still feel that I don't want to believe that he's gone or she's gone. But you have to face it, and you have to avoid the situation. You have to come face-to-face with it and deal with it. And sometimes it makes you feel better because that person is expressing to you things that person, that they admired about that person, or what that person may have said that was kind or something to them. So when you start in a conversation, you end up feeling better. You laugh about some things, maybe it's a joke or something that they shared, and you begin to laugh, and it's okay to laugh. It's okay to talk about your loved one, and it's good healing to be able to talk freely and not cry. But if you cry, that is okay. I mean, when I went back to work, every time someone came in and said, "You know, my condolences to you, I just heard about your," I just bust out and cry. I had no control over my tears. It just kept coming down. I felt really embarrassed at times because I was at work, and I worked in the public, and the tears would just keep coming down. And one day, you know, I got better. But I was happy that those people cared about what had happened, and they were expressing their condolences to me. So we go through different things, different phases of life as we go through our journey of grief. But each day you'll get better, each month, each year, it will get better and you'll become stronger. But healing is knowing that you can talk about your loved one regardless of the situation. That is the process of healing, talking about it, talking freely. It is all right. Yes, I know you miss them, and the wound is raw. But God is a healer. He's a healer. He's a provider. He's right there with you. He's walking through this journey with you. Just ask Him to be to come in your presence and let Him know, let you know that He's there. He will give you some sort of sign. And I'm also, some of you, it's so new that your loved ones sometimes come back, their spirit, you feel some sort of something, you feel, sometimes I've heard my sister say that she can hear some noises in the room that, you know, in the room, something different. She feels that whenever he comes around, that same noise, something that that she knows that he's around, that his presence. Go ahead and talk with him. You know, you're not crazy if you do. Sometimes you smell some sort of cologne or something. You feel something of his presence around you. It is okay to be emotional. But like I say, one day it'll get better. By and by, it will. So don't be afraid to mention your spouse's name in conversation. And if you see that friends and family are avoiding the situation, let them know it's okay. It's okay for you to talk or mention his name or ask me how I'm doing or whatever the situation is. It's okay. Because it's a normal thing that we all have to get through. So that's one of the main things that I wanted to mention to you, too. Now, there's two more topics I wanted to talk about tonight, but it's a short, we only have a few more minutes. I'm going to combine that with the new, going into February, we have a new book that we're going to February, Book 4. Book 4, just one second here. Book 4 is Rebuilding and Remembering. We'll be getting into that, really be honest with you, February is next week. We'll continue on with two of the last topics that I have in this book, Book 3, going to Book 4. But I want to mention some things to you. It's a matter of announcement and encouragement. We have written two books. The ministry have written two books. The first one is A Widow's Touch. It has 26 true stories of encouragement and healing. That book is a very good book to get because 26 widows are expressing how they've gotten through their journey of grief. At one point, some of them were new, some of them were several years. But that book is a great book for you. Whenever you go through those emotions that you're having, grab that book and read one of those stories because it will encourage you, because something in one of those stories will encourage you to smile, laugh, also, oh, I've been feeling that way. I did that. So you can relate to someone else knowing that you are not the only one that's going through those feelings, that you are not alone. There's so many people that are grieving the loss of a loved one. So purchase that book. Go on Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble and purchase A Widow's Touch. It'll be very encouraging to read those stories. And you don't have to read it all at one time. Read one day, one each night. There are 26 stories. Mine is in there too. So just knowing that you have something that you that can help you through this journey of grief. Also, wrote a small book. It's called A Widow's Manual. Now, in the Widow's Manual is, Oh, Lord, What Am I to Do? That book is really, you think that I should have written, that book should have been written before we wrote A Widow's Touch. But, you know, that's what the Holy Spirit wanted in that area, in that order. So, Oh, Lord, What Am I to Do? It's really a book to, if when you first lose your loved one, it's a book of direction and ways to, don't have the book, yeah, I have one right in front of me right here. Okay. What the book does give you, it's a 8-week manual, which provides you with direction on how to prepare for the loss of a loved one. And the first week, it tells you the different things that you need to do. The first thing is finding a safe person, a person that you can, that will help you with details and also help you with, and keeping personal things confidential because you don't want everything to be known. So find someone, a family member or friend that you can rely on and let that person help you. It gives you the first 10 things that you need to do when you lose a loved one. And also it gives you 8 weeks of instruction, different things, what you need to do, who you need to call. It gives you 800 numbers. It gives you, also tells you about probate court and some encouragement at the very end as well. So both book is very beneficial, but if you have had, your loss has been more than 6 months, it might not be very helpful to you in the sense of you may have already done most of those things that was necessary. But if you know anyone else that can use it, it says Widow's Touch, a Widow's Manual, but it is also for anyone that have had a loss. It gives, a loss is loss, and you mostly going to call the funeral home and make preparation the same way. So this book is good for anyone, even though I've named it A Widow's Manual. So those two books, you can go on Amazon.com and order it. The A Widow's Touch is $14.99, and Oh Lord, What Am I to Do is $6.99. So they're very inexpensive books. So, and if you have someone else that you know that you can tell about these books, or you can purchase one and give it to them. This is also will help us to continue to stay on the air and do other things we trying to do for our ministry. So just knowing that you'll be helping not just us, but you're helping yourself so we can be able to continue to give you resources to help you through this journey. And that is all I have for you tonight. One other, I want to mention again that we are going to the Biltmore Estate in Ashford, North Carolina, this coming June, June 18th through the 20th. It is $331 for 3 days, two nights, and includes transportation, lodging, two breakfasts, two dinners, guided tours, several guided tours. And so that is pretty much almost inclusive. The first day as we travel, you would have to be responsible for your breakfast and lunch going to. But once you get to Ashford, North Carolina, everything pretty else is taken care of. So, and the first payment is due now. So if you're interested, please give me a call regarding this, because I want the bus filled up, and I hope that you will be one of those persons on that bus to help fill it up. So please give me a call as soon as you can and let me know when you can get the funds to me. 0-981-9118. I hope that you'll be a part of it. And just knowing that you can invite anyone, no kids are allowed. You can invite a widower, a widow, friends, family, neighbors, church members. They all are welcome. So let's build that. Let's build this bus up. And it's by Diamond Tours. They're a great company. They do excellent work. So that is all I have for tonight. We will start next week in February with a new book, and that's book number 4, Rebuilding and Remembering. And that is all I have for tonight. Be blessed. Have a great week. And also, don't forget to read 2 Timothy chapter 2 of endurance. And don't be a winner. Don't quit. Don't give up. The battle is not yours. It's the Lord. Be blessed. Love you all. And talk to you next Tuesday.
But your grace was strong enough to pick us up.